From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 16th day of July, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, U.S. EPA has given officials in Iowa 60 days to improve its permitting program for CAFOs, that stands for Concentrated Animal Feeding Operations, and the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, has lowered its outlook for global economic growth. Hey, don't forget, finally, the DDGs. The price of the ethanol co-product has been skyrocketing. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour, and then I'll tell you how the U.S. House of Representatives version of the Farm Bill differs from the one introduced by the U.S. Senate. Now, Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke will take us through those differences. And as we close out our program, we'll look at the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy up on the 23rd floor of the Boeing building in Chicago. And it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood and Paul Stevens of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. The nearby contract and the soft red winter wheat, that's the September futures, $9.86, a final price on the day, up 36.5. That's actually the hard red in Kansas City. And the soft red ends the September at 884.5 in Chicago at 36.75 higher. Final trade there at $8.84.5. From the corn pit back in Chicago, a 36-cent gain, $7.76.5. The final price on the day, we'll get you settlements as they come through. December futures, $7.72, up 31.75. And March contract on its close at $7.73.25 in the corn pit, up 31.5 cents. The May futures, $7.67.5. Up 29.25 in July. Corn, $7.58.25, up 26.25. August soybeans at $16.31.5, up 36.75. September at $16.03.5, up 34. And November beans, $15.88, up 35.5 cents. Bean meal at $4.87.30, up 13.20. Bean oil at $54.68, 98 cents higher on the day. Live cattle futures finished the October at $120.55, down 90 cents. September feeders at $139.50. down the $3 limit, and August lean hogs at $90.42.5, up 2.5 cents. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, August contract, $88.32 a barrel, up $1.22. Ethanol at $2.66.5, that's 10 9/10 of a cent higher. Natural gas at $2.80 1/10, down 7 3/10, and the heating oil at $2.83, down 4 1/10 of a cent, rather up 4 1/10 of a cent. And the gold futures on the day at $1,591.20 an ounce, down 40 cents. The U.S. dollar at 83.1 is up 0.24. The CRB index at 295 9/10, that's up 1.95 for the day. The weather forecast, as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area, says this afternoon, we'll see mostly sunny skies. It is hot out there, a high of 95 degrees on a southwest wind at about 9 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear and a low of 70 degrees. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny and hot again, a high near 99 degrees with a south wind to southwest at 5 to 8 miles per hour. By the time we get to Wednesday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Those will come after 1 p.m. in the afternoon. Partly sunny and hot, a high of 95 degrees Wednesday night. Mostly cloudy, and the showers and thunderstorms go away, 72 for the low. And then they'll come back on Thursday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny and a high of 91 degrees. Thursday night, cloudy and 71. Friday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny with a high of 89. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low of 70 degrees. And Saturday, mostly sunny, a high of 89 degrees. Saturday night, mostly clear and a low of 70. Mostly sunny on Sunday, and a high near 92 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast as we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
On the phone line with us for a Monday afternoon to take a look at the commodity markets, as usual, is Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Another big day in Chicago. Futures rallying sharply. It's hot in the Midwest, and I don't know whether there's anything other to talk about than the weather or not.
It continues to be the main theme here as we move through almost halfway through, well, over halfway through July now, looking at more of a concern, not a whole lot of relief. A lot of analysts and crop scouts and individuals and speculators and taxi cab drivers are running through the cornfields realizing that, there's some significant damage out there. The D's corn futures started out strong last night, cleared the 750 area and just generated more buying enthusiasm, as ideas are that D's could be showing up to the $8 level. Novi beans got close to $16. If we can get above $16, they'll start talking, $16.50. So it seems like the trade's looking at 50-cent increments in here, and ideas are that pullback should be fairly well supported here until there's some reason or some signal that we're due for some type of correction.
Is there any place across the Midwest where we can talk about a normal or even a good corn crop? Any place left yet? Maybe North Dakota somewhere? I don't know.
Well, there's a few spots that's, I don't know, maybe normal if, you look at the averages maybe, but for the most part, even the guys who had the best crop that we visited with have seen some deterioration. Even guys with irrigation systems, are seeing some production concerns. The problem is the areas who have missed this rain through here have just totally disintegrated, and we're seeing a situation where end users, didn't have the coverage on, don't have the coverage on, and everybody's wanting to try to get a piece of the pie here as they try to lock in some type of bushels here to work with as we go into this fall and winter.
Demand destruction of some sort will happen eventually, and things will drop. They may drop quickly. They may not drop quickly. I don't know whether you have a shot on where the highs are, but let's talk about this. How is it that producers should maybe go about protecting the crop insurance, the premium that is above crop insurance at this point? And how do they go about protecting that? What kinds of things can they do in the marketplace that make sure that they lock in a profit, even on bushels that they may not harvest at this time?
Yeah, that's a good question. On the demand destruction side, we're already seeing that happen. We're seeing the Arkansas feedlots or sell barns just being jam-packed with some liquidation there. Feeder cattle, just look at a feeder cattle chart here. It's just been a slide downhill,
right.
And it's going to continue to slide here as long as the grain market stays higher. The number one thing probably on insurance is you got to visit and find out what's going on or what you bought for insurance, because there's been quite a few meetings around, and they've been heavily attended on what's taking place. I don't know what each one of you have bought, so, and it varies a little bit from policy to policy, and there's a few little tweaks to it that you need to probably sit down, visit, and see where you are. But demand will cease here at some higher levels, so in our opinion, we feel from a longer-term perspective, as a producer, not as a trader, but as a producer, the risk is back to the downside. So we started a long time ago and looking at different price levels to do different things, but we feel that the home run play here as a producer, even though you're going to be short on bushels, is take a defensive approach and an aggressive approach to protect or lock in these higher levels in through here with the idea that we don't want to be caught in a situation, no yield, no price, because basically when you look into this fall in here, when you get into the fall price averages, we fear that the market could go back down in that time window. So the simplest thing to do is sit down with someone and look at some type of option strategy to invest anywhere from 20 to 30 cents to try to pick up or lock in an extra $2 above your insurance average.
Can I come back to the feeder cattle for just a bit? When you look at the September contract, of course, we gapped lower on the day. I think it was on the day. I'm looking at the weekly chart, but I assume that, yeah, I'm just making sure. And so we gapped lower. We're lower on the week, of course, at the moment. That, as you mentioned, is part of demand destruction. And in that same breath, the price of DDGs have been skyrocketing the last couple of weeks. We'll hear Dave Dickey talk about that shortly in the newscast. Are you telling livestock producers, end users, that they ought to consider getting into this market sooner rather than later for their needs, even at these kinds of prices, or is it okay for them to wait it out?
Well, we hate to sort of chase it right here at this level.
Right.
What we've done is some covered positions. Typically, there's situations where when you work with these larger guys, you've got to do it no matter what. And just to let you know, what we've done is we've bought the board at the same time, you know, covered and bought a put at the same time. We don't want to get in a situation where you know, we're already financially jacked up on commitments, so we don't want a whole lot of margin call exposure. So we've been doing some covered positions for guys wanting to get some coverage on now, so we don't feel like we've gotten caught by the high there, Todd.
Now turn around and then let's talk about soybeans just a bit. Soybeans are a crop most of the time in the month of August, where they're made or not. When you look out into the end of July, do you see enough rainfall to make a soybean crop, and might the price of beans be at risk at some point?
Well, I think we're entering that stage now. It's nice to have some rain on corn to help the fill if they're still in that type of position. But the beans, yeah, you're correct. But the beans are starting to get to the point of no return, too. We had a good spring to start out, got off to a good start here. Have to maybe visit a little bit more with the agronomist to give you a little bit more of a time window on it here. But we're finding that in some of these areas, these beans are hurt just as much as a corn. Now, for areas that's been holding stable in through here, it's just going to hinge on moisture in the next 2 weeks. We don't see a whole lot of moisture in the next 2 weeks. It's the same type of forecast that we've been looking at, where there's an 80% chance of 1/10 of an inch. So there's been some isolated amounts more than that, but the general coverage is still minimal.
We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Very good, Todd. Thanks.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Join us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, from the pre-opening to the Closing Market Report and everything in between on the regular business days, and Commodity Week, our weekly look at what's happening in the world of agriculture. Also, our free weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page. Speaking of the weekend newsletter, Dave Dickey pins that one each and every week, and he's here now with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the Environmental Protection Agency has given Iowa officials 60 days to outline plans to improve the state's permitting program for confined animal feeding operations. The EPA says Iowa's permitting program for CAFOs does not do enough to assess whether unpermitted CAFOs need permits, does not levy high enough penalties to violators, and may not be following the Clean Water Act with its zero discharge regulation. The findings were made in response to a 2007 petition filed by several state environmental groups that asked EPA to take over the Iowa CAFO permitting program. In 2011, the groups announced plans to file the lawsuit if EPA did not respond to the petition. The International Monetary Fund has slightly lowered its outlook for global growth over the next 2 years. The IMF today says it expects the world economy to expand 3.5% this year. That's down slightly from its previous estimate of 3.6% in April. The IMF also cut its forecast to 3.9% growth in 2013 from 4.1% 3 months ago, and it shaved its U.S. growth forecast to 2% this year from its previous estimate in April of 2.1%. For 2013, it expects U.S. growth of 2.3%, down from 2.4%. Financial market analysts and economists have reduced their forecasts for Brazil's economic expansion for this year and next. The estimate for Brazil's 2012 gross domestic product growth is now 1.9%, down from 2% last week. It was the 10th consecutive outlook reduction for this year. DDG prices are setting new records. In the past 2 weeks, the DTN spot price average has jumped $27 per ton to a record-breaking $257 per ton. The market has seen a $37 per ton rise in DDG prices in the past 3 weeks. The rising prices are due to a combination of high corn prices, worries over the current corn crop, and short DDG supplies resulting from ethanol plants shutting down or scaling back production to protect dwindling profit margins. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You can find us online at willag.org or use your smartphone at m.willag.org or just dial this number at 217-333-3434. We update that at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day of the year. All times, of course, are central. Now, up next, I'll tell you a bit more about how the U.S. House of Representatives has a version of the Farm Bill and what the differences are between it and the one introduced by the U.S. Senate. Congress does not have very many days left in this year's session to complete an overhaul of the Farm Bill, but it's trying. University of Illinois Extension Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke says both the Senate and the House are considering legislation, although they differ in some respects.
The Senate, for its commodity programs, proposed ARC, and you could take ARC, which is a revenue program at either the county or farm level. The House has price law or revenue loss coverage, which is ARC at the county level, but they don't have a farm level revenue program, and instead they have price level loss coverage, which is a target price program. So it makes payments when mid-season prices fall below effective prices.
The House version of the Farm Bill is really an agricultural compromise. It gives back to the South what the Senate simply eliminated.
Direct payments are eliminated in both the House and the Senate bills, and the House bill is now passed by the committee, so it has to get by the full House. But there are no direct payments in either bill. And the price loss coverage option, which again is a target price option, has it's target or effective prices set such that rice and peanuts get much larger payments or are projected to get much larger payments than corn, soybeans, and wheat. So it's sort of the direct payments were much higher for rice and peanuts compared to corn, soybeans, and wheat, and projected payments for price loss coverage are much higher for rice and peanuts than corn, soybeans, or wheat.
Here's the reason why. It was clear the Senate's version of the Farm Bill, if enacted without change, would cause the price of farmland in the South to go down. The House rectified that with the PLC, the Price Loss Coverage Program. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Michael Yeoman from the Andersons, right here in Champaign County, is on the phone line to take up the cash grain market with us. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Now, I know what conditions look like in Champaign County, and it is not pretty. Any place in the coverage area in your draw for the Andersons there in East Central Illinois, West Central Indiana that looks pretty decent or not?
No, not really. I mean, we've heard a lot of farmers have concerns that their fields are probably around 0 to 20 bushels per acre. There's also very spotty coverage where, you know, rains may have hit that still have potential if we would get a rain to maybe produce 150 range. But like I said, we really need that rain, and I think we have a small chance Wednesday.
So that takes care of the crop, but that doesn't necessarily mean basis is following the marketplace higher, although I suspect that's the case still at this time. How's basis been holding up?
As far as old crop basis, I mean, with the rally in the market and also getting so close to new crop, we've actually seen basis fade over the last month.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this week, you know, there's talk, rumors, I guess, that an ethanol plant in Indiana is only taking contracts from now on, don't really have a spot price or aren't looking for new corn.
So they're going to shut down maybe then?
Possibly. But like I said, that's rumors. So.
And they would be, if that's the case, they would be probably the first in a series, I would think, once the price of corn gets high enough for long enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see just, you know, the yearly shutdown coming probably a little bit earlier this year, and basis will probably fade here once we start looking into new crop.
Yeah, how long do ethanol plants normally shut down? How long is their...
Usually about a month.
So they're down. So they might come down a month early, but we've got a crop that was supposed to be 3 weeks ahead. That wouldn't be all that unusual, I suppose.
That's exactly correct. And, you know, with the limited supply of old crop corn that's out there, it would make sense.
Okay, and then talk to me about soybeans in the area. They're a later crop, do better in August. They can hang on through some hot, dry weather. What kind of condition in our area?
Yeah, I mean, with soybeans, you never know what kind of yield they have. Obviously, it's tough to tell. And typically, a July-August rain can make a huge difference. I mean, even last year, we didn't catch a rain on beans till I think it was about mid-August. And, I mean, we still had a phenomenal year. As in some areas, as far as beans go.
And your cash bids for the day are?
Today on old crop corn, we're at 8.11 here in Champaign. New crop corn is 7.72. Beans are at 16.48 old crop, 15.75 on new crop, and wheat ends the day at 8.74.
Thanks so much, Michael.
Thanks, Todd.
Michael Yeoman is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joined us on the Closing Market Report for a Monday afternoon. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes when we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, about the agricultural weather forecast. You're, of course, listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Common Ground Food Co-op in Lincoln Square Mall, featuring organic and local foods grown right here in Illinois. More information is on their website at www.commonground.coop. Thank you. Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're, of course, listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming from the Closing Market Report to the Opening Market Report. Everything in between, going backwards, of course, during the day. Again, that's at willag.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's time now to check in on the agricultural weather forecast. Mark Russo is on the phone line from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark. How are you?
Good, Todd.
All right. Well, tell me about the weather forecast. It's been hot and dry, and it doesn't look like it's going to change.
That is the forecast here, Todd. This first half of July and the weather trends that we've seen here in the Midwest, there's just simply no sign of that changing over the next couple of weeks. So as a result, limited rainfall along with well above normal temperatures will persist. And simply, we just do not see any signs out there of any real fundamental change in the patterns, not only here across North America, but across much of the Northern Hemisphere. So the pattern is still kind of stuck to what it has been here lately. And so, for that matter, here, not only through the end of July, but even potentially into the first week of August, it's more of the same here as this hot, dry pattern persists.
Our immediate attention usually is on North America and the corn and soybean crop here, but you did mention the Northern Hemisphere, and that seems to be as much or a bigger problem given the short crop that we will definitely have in the United States. Any place around the globe in the Northern Hemisphere that looks like it'll produce a decent crop this year?
Well, the crops across the northern sections of Europe, they continue to be in good shape. They haven't been as hot. They've also been getting rain. Crops coming out of southern Europe, though, look to be disappointing, is that where hot and dry weather has been biased, along with crops in portions of southern Russia and Ukraine. But northern Europe looks to be in good shape, Germany, France, and England. And then right now, the Chinese crop looks to be in good shape here. You know, we had some earlier dryness issues, but that has been relieved over the past couple of weeks due to abundant rainfall. And over the next few weeks, we do not see any long-duration problematic heat and the continuation of rain. So right now, crop prospects for the Chinese crop, corn and soybeans, look good at this time.
So that would be in both the northeastern corners and the southern areas for the soybean crop that are still in good shape.
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct.
Finally, go to North Dakota, Minnesota, parts of Iowa. They might have a better shot than most at actually raising the crop this year. What do you see there?
Well, this hot and dry bias here, especially the dry bias, which had been an eastern belt feature, you know, over the past few weeks, is now shifted westward, and crops now in Iowa, the Dakotas, Minnesota, they're some of the least probabilities here for rainfall here coming up, with the exception of kind of central Minnesota, and also with this heat coming up as well, or what we're seeing right now, and then coming back here for the weekend, the early part of next week, that area looks to be kind of the epicenter of that. So, you know, what had been good crop conditions, it looks like conditions here are now going downhill, or continuing to go downhill across those areas.
And very quickly, their high temperatures will be upper 90s, lower 100s?
We will see that those type of temperatures, Todd, through tomorrow, and then starting on Wednesday, we will see a little respite of the heat here with temperatures dropping down to around 90 or upper 80s, lower 90s for about 4 days. But then the heat looks to build back in. High temperatures getting back to around 100 by the early part of next week.
Thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome. Welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, holding a short-term and medium-term outlook meeting on commodity and financial market results, July 25th at 6 p.m. at the Arcola Community Service Center and July 27th at 7 a.m. at Yoder's in Arthur. Meals will be provided, reservations required. 866-471-2588.